Hello, my name is Wayne Jones. Welcome to Three More Minutes About Sam. This week's episode is called Sam Dying. And I'm going to concentrate on a very specific account of Sam's death. In fact, the last 3 weeks of his life and then ultimate death. But just to give a few facts beforehand, he lived to be 75, which was a decent life to live then. A lot of people died a lot younger than that. But he was quite ill for the last good, certainly year and a half, maybe 2 years of his life. And one of the accounts that I have and that I've read, and for which a very beautiful book was published, a short book, was a kind of a journal that a man named John Houle, who was a friend of Sam's, kept. And he kept it as he was visiting Sam, so that, you know, he and various other friends knew that Sam was dying and that Sam would call for. And of course, they would be dropping in on him to see how things are going. And during the last 3 weeks, Sam Houle kept a journal, a diary, an account of his visits. And it was partly inspired, frankly, by his first visit when he went there, or at least the first one he records, where Sam really enjoined him to write things down. And Sam wasn't saying it for the purpose of, you know, we need this down for the the history of my death, but Sam had a real reverence for or real realization that the fact of writing something down encapsulates it more for you or for anyone, or infuses it more into your consciousness. And that's why he was asking Houle to do so, to write things down. And Houle followed through, and for all of his visits or attempted visits, he documented all of those. So there was a book published in 1972, a beautiful book that exists only in 250 copies, of which I'm lucky enough to own one, called Journal Narrative Relative to Dr. Johnson's Last Illness 3 Weeks Before His Death, kept by John Houle. And of course, it records what happened in November and December of 1784. And I just wanted to read and comment on some of the passages there, because I think they're very, very instructive about what happened. So during the first visit, this would be on Saturday, November 20th, 1784, ultimately they started talking about religion at Sam's initiation. And Sam eventually asked Houle, "Do you not think you are living in direct disobedience to the command of our Savior?" Sam had also asked Houle about his and his wife's, Houle's wife's, practice regarding prayer, and to which Houle's honest answer was that neither of them did. And then Sam said, and I'll quote from the book now, "He spoke to me most affectionately that he considered me as a good and sober man, but believed that I had not been sufficiently attentive to very negligent in religion. He conjured me to no longer to neglect those important matters, to begin immediately to read and meditate on the Bible, and not to throw it aside for a play or novel. He said he had himself lived in great negligence of religion and worship for 40 years, that he had neglected greatly to read his Bible, and that he had since often reflected what he could hereafter say when he should be asked why he had not read it. He conjured me repeatedly to let his present situation have due effect upon me, and advised me when I got home to note down in writing what had been passed between us, adding that what a man writes in that manner dwells upon his mind." So there's a lot there. There's not only Sam's injunction to Houle to write it down, but to go home and start praying, basically, or to adopt that as a practice, but You know, Sam saying that he had gone 40 years in neglecting that. Again, I feel this, I really feel this is a really strong exaggeration of the way he had lived his life. Perhaps it is true that every single night he didn't pray and was, you know, not obedient to what he thought God might have wanted him to do. But he certainly was a praying man. He certainly composed prayers regularly. He often composed them at the beginning or the end of years, where he would reflect on his past year and, you know, make efforts or claim to make efforts to try to do better in the future year. So in a sense, he's correct. Sam is correct in his assessment of himself, but it all depends on what standards one sets for oneself. Yes, if he had expected to be praying every single day and to always obey everything that of what he thought that God wanted him to do, then indeed for 40 years he had been completely negligent in his duty. But that's setting a pretty high standard, which goes without saying, and to say the least. After that first visit, Hul is undeterred, to his credit, and he does visit Sam again on Sunday, the 21st of November. And again, they talk about religion and morality, and Sam makes an interesting distinction. Just as Hul is leaving, Sam says this to him: "Before we parted, he put into my hand a little book by Fleetwood on the sacrament, which he told me he had been the means of introducing to the University of Oxford by recommending it to a young student there. On my leaving him, he said, 'I believe your life to have been a very moral one. Let it henceforth be a religious one.'" So, of course, that's a very interesting distinction there. Not a unique distinction, I don't think. But obviously, Sam makes a distinction between you can be a, let's call it, good person, but that doesn't mean that you're a follower of God. That's not enough, basically, in the way that Sam views it. And that's what Hul hears from him. There was some good news during that visit as well, and even for Sam himself. And this is something that I actually didn't know about, but I'll just quote from what Hul writes here. "He told me with apparent pleasure that he had heard the Empress of Russia had ordered the Rambler," that's Johnson's series of essays from the early 1750s, "to be translated into the Russian language, and that a copy would be sent to him." Now that's interesting. I never think of, you know, you think of England and you think of America and you think of Europe, but I never imagined that the reach of the Rambler would go that far, and also that the Empress of Russia would direct that it be published. So that's good news. I'm actually going to try to track down that copy of in Russian if I possibly can. You know, I always believe that it's true that all details are important, and doesn't matter whether you're on your deathbed or in anger or when you say the truth or when you're acting normally. And the visit that Hul makes on Saturday, September or November 27th, is indicative of this, because it tells you something again about Johnson's character. So things are getting to the point now where they're talking about Sam's will and about his last statements and that sort of thing. Everyone, including Sam, realizes that these are the end days. These are the last days or weeks that he's living. So another person in the room, when Hul is there, asks if Sam would like to be declared as being a member of the Church of England. And Johnson is pretty adamant in that and says no. And then I will quote from the book, from the account that Hul gives: "But taking a pen, he wrote on paper the following words, which he delivered to Sir John, desiring him to keep it. Quote, I commit to the infinite mercies of Almighty God my soul, polluted with many sins, but purified, I trust, with repentance and the death of Jesus Christ. Again, a pretty harsh assessment, polluted. He was a very imperfect man in a lot of ways. But it's hard for me as an atheist to put my mind in that kind of mindset. But I suppose if you believe in God, and I suppose if you believe that sins are bad and offenses to God, and I suppose that if you realize that you've committed more than one sin, that you might consider your soul or your heart or your whatever to be polluted with these sins. But as you read it on the page now, as I read it on the page now, it just seems like such a harsh denigration of oneself, such a criticism, highly unfortunate in my view. The other thing that happened during this same visit is that the doctor came in and Sam asked if he would have 6 weeks to live, if he would have as many as 6 weeks to live. And the doctor basically gave an indication that no, he wouldn't. And it turns out, frankly, that he's correct in that. On the next evening's visit, that would be Sunday, November 28th, and just to set the context here, Hool is not the only person visiting Sam. There are a bunch of friends who are sort of coming and going all the time. You know, sometimes there's a couple of people in there, sometimes there's a crowd in there. So people are just dropping by, probably unannounced, to pay their respects or to, realizing that he may be dead in short order, to see him for the last time, that sort of thing. So just to put sort of that into context, it's sort of like at a gathering sort of thing, or a funeral or something. This is not a funeral, he's not dead, but, a lot of people arrive, and eventually a lot of people go, or at a commemoration ceremony. The numbers kind of vary. And that's what's happening here. And it turns out that into the evening, it's basically just two people left. There's a Mr. Sastris and Hool is there. And they are the ones that are left there. And Sam says to Sastris, this is a slightly long passage, but it's interesting to read about this, what Sam says to this young man, quote, there is no one who has shown me more attention than you have done, and it is now right you should claim some attention from me. You are a young man and are to struggle through life. You are in a profession that I dare say you will exercise with great fidelity and innocence, but let me exhort you always to think of my situation, which must one day be yours. Always remember that life is short and eternity never ends. I say nothing of your religion, for if you conscientiously keep to it, I have little doubt but that you may be saved. If you read the controversy, I think we have not the right, we have right on our side, but if you did not read it, be not persuaded from any worldly consideration to alter the religion in which you were educated. Change not but from conviction of reason. When any temptation offers, reflect that this leads to hell. Consider every pain that you feel here and what that must be forever. Remember all this and God bless you. Write down what I have said. I think you are the third person I have bid to do this. Unquote. At 10 o'clock, he dismissed us, thanking us for a visit, which he said could not have been very pleasant to us. Not to be too flippant, but that seems like an understatement. It's obvious and understandable that Johnson Sam, who's on his deathbed here, is thinking of death and religion and what he's done wrong and what it might lead to. And he is someone who had within his swath of beliefs the belief that, you know, if you had done too much wrong, and if you weren't saved or forgiven, or if God didn't show his graces, you would go to hell, you know, the fire, suffering, all that. So it's not surprising that that would be on his mind, especially given the state that, or given the fact that Sam didn't think very highly of his past actions. So for him to, it's just, I mean, it's not funny, but it is funny in a certain way for him to be inflicting that on his visitors, and especially a young man, to say, you know, you'll probably do well in your career and you look like a good man, and don't change your religion unless you have a good reason to. But if you do, or if you're bad, remember, you can go straight to hell. Again, I'm not being flippant about it, although I do, you know, I do find it humorous in a certain kind of way, especially after all this time. But it seems like such a thing to say, and all more power to Hul for continuing to, with his visits. That didn't deter him at all. So this is Hul's final visit. This is the visit that takes place on the day that Sam dies. And I just wanted to read a little bit in length, not too long, from this, because it indicates a few things about other visitors and about the state that that Sam was in. So here we go. This is directly quoting from Hul's account. I went upstairs into his chamber and found him lying very composed in a kind of dozing. He spoke to nobody. Sir John Hawkins, Mr. Langton, Mrs. Gardner, Reverend Mr. Strawn, Mrs. Strawn, Doctors Brocklesby and Butter, Mr. Stevens, and Mr. Nichols the printer came there, but no one chose to disturb him so as to speak to him. While Mrs. Gardner and I were there before the rest came, he took a little warm milk in a cup. When he said something upon its not being properly given into his hand, and I believe this was the last time he spoke, but he seemed not to take the least notice of any present. He breathed very regular, though short, and appeared to be in a calm sleep or doze. I came away and left him in this state, and never saw him more alive. In the evening, I supped with Mrs. Hul and my son at Mr. Braithwaite's, and at night William brought me word that my dearest friend died that evening about 7 o'clock. Next morning I went to the house where I met Mr. Seward. We went into the chamber and saw the most awful sight of Dr. Johnson laid out in his bed without life. So there you have it. There's an account of the last 3 weeks of Johnson's life. I'm talking about it here not because this is the last of my podcasts or anything like that, but this just happens to be the part of the biography I'm writing of Johnson. This just happens to be the section that I'm writing on. I'm not writing linearly, so I'm working on this. And a couple of things here. One is just how valuable this account that Hul kept is. I mean, there are details there that would not be known to us, to history, to literary scholars at all, if Hul had not written them down as Johnson had asked them to. The other thing is just this, you can feel a bit about, just from what I read, I hope you can feel a little bit about the deterioration. And especially at the end, where you just imagine the scene that was said about a bunch of people, a half a dozen or 10 people standing around, and Johnson is on his bed and nothing is being said. No, there's no engagement taking place. And eventually, again, it ends where Hul leaves, I suppose, or it seems, before Sam actually dies, and then you know, the next day actually comes back and sees that Johnson has died the night before, or on the same night that that Hul had visited but left early. I talk about this not to be morbid, but simply to be sort of factual. These things are important. What someone does at the height of their life, or what someone does at the very joys and apexes of joy of their life are just as important, and especially when one is writing a biography, just as valid, just as includable as anything else in their life. Both the sad and the bad and the glad and the whatever are all subject to be included. So thank you for listening. Again, this has been Wayne Jones with 3 More Minutes About Sam. I'll talk to you again next week.